Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Pursuit of Wellness, a show where we interact with experts to bring you actionable insights to help you with your journey of wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal and I'll be your host throughout this journey. You can check out our Facebook group, The Pursuit of Wellness. You can also find us on Twitter at TPOW Podcast. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a quick shout out to our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Sproutbox, a premier co-working space in New Delhi. With no lock-ins and month-to-month flexibility, you can choose between shared desks and private workspaces designed to help you build your next big thing. We're actually recording out of our studio here in Sproutbox's Okhla location. Check out our show notes for more details. This is a Mancha Media production. In this episode, we're chatting with Jatin Arora. He's the founder and head trainer at Bootcamp Yellow, which does outdoor functional training and training for runners across its 10 locations in Gurgaon. He's also an Ironman certified coach and a CrossFit level 2 trainer. In this episode, we're chatting with Jatin about boot camps, CrossFit and kettlebell training, amongst other things. Let's jump right in. Hey Jatin, welcome to the show.
Hey Kabir, thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Thanks for coming on, man. So we've already given our audience a little bit of an intro about you, but why don't you give us a small brief to kick off the episode?
Sure. My name is Jatin Arora. I'm the founder and head coach for Bootcamp Yellow, something which started out of my passion about 4 years back. So we are an outdoor fitness community focusing on the running training as well as strength and conditioning for our runners out of Gurgaon as of now. I'm a certified running coach, just recently completed my Ironman coach certification from Ironman U, CrossFit level 2 trainer, and recently did my CrossFit Kids certification, and working with the very positive energy-filled community in Gurgaon.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for that. So where did your journey begin? How did you get into fitness? How did you get into training? I know you had a corporate background before this, so tell us about that.
It's an interesting one because, you know, I mean, after working for 16 years in a corporate, you know, from selling burgers to working in BPOs. And then after that, my last project was with one of the leading sports store out of Bangalore. So retail takes a kick out of you. And, you know, when I moved back, I was really, you know, into following my passion of running and fitness. And that's where the whole journey started. At that time, when I came back to Gurgaon in about 2012, you know, CrossFit was very new in India. And I started like anybody else, like an amateur, didn't know anything about CrossFit. Started working or rather training in a CrossFit box in Gurgaon. And from there, you know, the whole passion materialized into doing my L1 certification and then, you know, going ahead and doing a few more. And then it just never looked back from there.
Awesome, awesome. So you've kind of been part of the journey of, you know, even CrossFit growing in India as well.
Absolutely. I think what I look and a lot of time people come and tell me that before I realize it, you know, that it's been a blend of passion which has converted into a full-fledged career for me as of now. But yeah, I mean, I've seen CrossFit, yes, grow in India from there was one box in Gurgaon. And there are, I think, roughly, if I'm not mistaken, there are about 5 or 6 in Gurgaon right now.
Yeah, and many in Delhi as well.
Many
right?
in Delhi as well. Yeah, I mean, yes, it's picked up pretty well.
Awesome. So now that we're on the topic of CrossFit, tell us a little bit about CrossFit training in general and how that has, what kind of impact that has on trainees that you're working with and people in general in terms of, you know, their pursuit of wellness. How does that differ from, say, the gym or doing other kinds of training?
I think there's a lot of misconception about CrossFit out in people and people find it very scary. I think it is one of the most, or I would say it is one of the best ways of getting back to fitness. It takes care of your complete strength, your endurance. You talk about if you follow the right CrossFit way, you follow your nutrition. I think it's a holistic approach. The only word of caution I would like to throw over here is that you need to ensure that you know your limits. When I say you know your limits, you know, you are getting into a CrossFit box. Things are going to be explosive. Things are going to be tough. Don't push yourself too much. Follow your trainer. The guy standing over there and conducting the class knows what is to be done. I hope he does. I mean, I'm sure he's experienced enough to drive that class. And just follow him. Don't try to overachieve than what your body can't. And just couple it up with good nutrition plan. Follow it up with good supplementation plan. And I think it's one of the best ways to get back into fitness. Not necessarily that you have to be a big body builder or you need to become big. I think it fits for all, for whether you're a runner, whether you are a housewife, whether you're a mother just given birth through a kid 9 months back, about a year back, need to get back into fitness. You just need to progress with that.
I think I've kind of noticed about CrossFit, at least, you know, in the community and the people that I know that are involved, it seems more of a group and inclusive
It's community.
Yeah, it's
the only
community.
Word which you look at is community. I mean, you know, I mean, I train in the gym as well. I work with a lot of clients in the gym. The culture I see and the culture I see in a box is very, very different. You know, you're working together, you're cheering everybody, you're pushing everybody. If you see somebody is not doing something right, you know, you go and help. And that's what motivates and that's what pushes people. In a gym, the culture is generally, you know, you're on your own, wearing your headsets, on the treadmill or lifting or doing on your own. No, I'm not saying that it is not that people don't like that. But the community aspect which comes in, it's different.
Awesome. So that's one of the, I'd say, large differences in terms of doing CrossFit versus a gym, right?
Yes.
That the community angle actually keeps people motivated and really helps to kind of push you in terms of, you know, your personal journey as well, right?
Correct. Yes.
Awesome. So what does a normal day look like for Jatin Arora? You know, what is, I know you train a lot of people, you're doing a lot of coaching, motivating. What does your day look like?
Our day starts very early. I am out of the house at 4:45 a.m. It's been last over 4 years now. It's never looked back. So I'm out of the house 4:45. Our training starts as early as 5:15. By the time you wrap up your morning trainings, it's about 11. I mean, after that, it's a regular. Because we have multiple locations, we have a large number of people training with us. So it requires a lot of support work, which needs to be worked out at. So that takes the normal general part of the day. And then I'm back out again in the afternoons, you know, working with individual clients. And a very important aspect, which I never let go, is my own training. So post 5:30 is a few hours of my own training and I spend time on that. And I think I close my day at 7:30 back home. Love spending a lot of time with my boys. Those are my energy busters. Got two sons, so they take a lot of time out of me in the evenings. And that's how the day is. That's how the routine is. And it's pretty interesting how it works.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about why boot camps. You know, why not say a box, or why not a different model of training people? Why boot camps?
I think what made me, you know, move more towards the outdoors was purely, you know, that I moved back from Bangalore. That was a city where, you know, outdoor culture was huge. I was a lot into running and cycling. So when I came back to Gurgaon, for me, working out in a gym was never in. I was always very away from that. When I came back, working with the Reebok running squad for good about 3.5-4 years, that kind of converted and changed my thought process. And I think you may just call it that it worked out in a way that, you know, we were working with a lot of runners and the runners loved being in the outdoors, you know, and early mornings. And that's how everything started. Of course, you know, not taking away the point that, you know, looking at opening a gym in a box, I did work on that. I did work on my business model. And when I looked at the cost and I looked at the overheads, it just didn't make any business sense where I would start something and scale it up and work on it. And then that's how, and it was my first project on my own. I was scared, you know, of investing in a business with and opening something which I had just started. Credibility was a big factor as a trainer. You know, it's not just that you do a certification and you stand there and people will come and train with you. So, you know, we need to get started from somewhere. And Gurgaon has some beautiful outdoor spaces. Gurgaon has some beautiful open condos with green spaces. We're just making use of those. That's as simple as it is.
Great. And talking a little bit about the scaling angle, talking a little bit about the business angle of it, how have you got it to a point where you've spent, you know, now a good 5 years, you'd say?
This is our fifth year. We've just completed our fourth year last month. We've scaled it up. So we are out of 10 different locations now where we cover strength and conditioning. We have 4 locations where we are covering up running trainings. So in total, 14 locations, and every location where you train out of will always have a certified coach or a trainer who will be standing there early in the morning and training with you. So yeah, I mean, it's taken us 4 years where our first 2 locations were up and ready only for 2 years. We scaled up majority last year. The first battle we were fighting was acceptance. People were not used to the concept of just training in open parks. A lot of mindset had to be changed. People had to believe in you, that what you're doing. So rather than going and spending time in putting posters and banners and giving flyers in newspapers, we spent that time working with athletes, making sure that they are getting their results. Spent a lot of time in nurturing trainers. The kind of community we are trying to build, the kind of people we want to make sure that they're standing and training, is very, very, I would say, inclusive in trainings, where they are more driven towards an athlete than just making sure that he's just standing over there. So that took me a little time in creating a little academy of my trainers. Either we've been blessed to get people who've come to us, believed in doing the internship with us, spending time before they could take a session, or they've been our members, made sure that they go do certifications, and then they start training. So we have a few people who are corporate senior leaders in a couple of companies. They've gone and done certifications, and now they are standing and making sure that our trainings happen. And it's taken us years. That has helped us in scale up. And of course, you know, when the word to mouth spreads out, you know, where people want to train with you, and then they, you know, want your trainers to be standing there with them and, you know, getting them to stand there early in the morning at 5:15, it's not an easy task for a trainer. Whether it's winter, summers, or it's raining, it's a different, thought process. I understand, you know, a lot of gyms do this on a weekend, on a Saturday or a Sunday, but doing it day in, day out, 7 days a week, 365 days, whether it's a holiday or not, it takes time. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, and that requires some serious commitment from the, you know, the trainer's angle as well as the trainees.
Absolutely. I think it requires a lot of commitment from the trainees as well. Being there in the morning, it itself is a big motivating factor of, as a trainer, you're standing there and there are 18 people. Like today morning, we had 3 batches training over there. Every batch had about, 15 odd people on time, making sure that we start on time there. And it just motivates and it pushes and makes sure that the trainer is giving his best.
Chatting a little bit about the kind of brands and, you know, larger entities that are in the space, you know, how has the inclusion and the growth of fitness brands and wellness brands kind of helped the ecosystem and also helped, you know, Bootcamp Yellow's journey as well?
I think these brands are playing a very, very important and crucial role in getting overall as a community active. I mean, my journey started with Reebok. I mean, you know, I started in 2013 with Reebok Running Squad, where they wanted to start a project of getting people active. Of course, there was a marketing angle to it. But again, it was a free training which they were providing to athletes on a weekend. And the best part was they were doing it with good, certified, credible coaches. And that's what changed the whole ballgame of people coming out and training with people who are professional in their career. They're training people. And that's where the whole motivating factor is right now. And that's been a successful model. We started with 4 or 5 locations in NCR when Reebok started this. And the last, you know, I've heard is 25 locations all across India. They're doing good. And that's how, you know, looking at them, there are a lot of other brands who've picked up as well. You know, they are going around and sponsoring their athletes. They're going around and giving gears to athletes and, you know, just adding on to the seriousness. And it's adding the whole building the active culture, which all the brands are doing. And it's I think it's as a whole from a community fitness aspect, it's doing great.
Awesome. So touching a little bit more about bootcamps. What do you think is important when somebody hasn't done a bootcamp yet? You know, when somebody is potentially coming to say Bootcamp Yellow and they're like about to start off, what is some of the most important things to keep in mind?
Kavir, I think bootcamp as a name scares a lot of people. They think that bootcamp culture is only to come out, sweat it out, get your hands dirty, crawl and jump. And it's more than that. You know, I mean, yes, universally you look at bootcamp, that's the normal culture, that 1 hour of crazy sweat. And you'll be lying down on the floor. And that's how the feeling is. And that's a feedback a lot of people have given me as well. You know, that in simple words, if I say, "Are, tum to bahut mushkil se karate ho." I mean, that's what people come back and tell me. You know, it's taken us years of, evolving also. It's been a learning journey for us as well. Where we started with just making sure that everybody's training together. But it is a very focused, planned approach is what we work with. For example, if anybody who comes in gets in a quick, 2 to 5 minute of discussion with me or any of the trainers to understand if there are any niggles, pains, anything which we need to take care of. And then he gets into a beginner's group where we only focus on body mechanics. We only focus on basic endurance, body weight strength. We're not giving him, you know, we're not asking him to crawl where he can't even touch his knees and, you know, his hamstrings are tight that he can't even bend forward. We understand that. Our trainers are professionals. They are certified. They're educated. So the idea is not to get them there and work with them for an hour. Then they walk out and saying, "Aaj maza aa gaya." That is not the concept. Yeah. Get them to work hard. Get them to put a goal in place. Get them to work towards that goal systematically, slowly. Couple it up with a good nutrition plan for them, giving them the right guidelines, giving them the right inputs, connecting with them with the right nutritionist to make sure they just don't come there for 1 hour. They make the difference for the remaining 23 hours as well. That is an important aspect. 1 hour of sweating out, you can just do anywhere. So it's a holistic journey we are providing him. We are not just there to you know, burn him out an hour. So yeah, it's a very different concept. And that's where we are approaching, and that's where we are changing, trying to change the mindset and putting, you know, a lot of communications through social media, through our trainers, through our athletes, that it's more than just being there for an hour.
Awesome. And I think you had mentioned that about the changing of the mindset as bit as well, right? In terms of gyms, they do it like on the weekend, they do one class for their members, right? Here, this is a day in, day out thing. Yes. This is every day.
Yeah.
And it's as good as, or pretty much the same as potentially going to the gym every day or doing yoga every day. This is in its own way a different type of pursuit of wellness as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, after working for an hour, I mean, you know, the way our culture is right now, the way our busy lives are, you can't expect everybody to go to a gym in the evening, post working hours, spending an hour and a half, 2 hours, walking out of it and saying, I kind of didn't get that feel. You're there early in the morning, you start your day early, spend that 1 hour with us, you burn an average of 150 to 500 to 600 calories, totally depending on what the intensity you put in. You're done for the day. You are, you know, you go out, go to work, you're a working mother, you have the whole day to yourself, what you want to do, your fitness is taken care of. What else would you need? And along with the, you know, being there for an hour, what we are providing is, you know, the like-minded people training together, some very senior leaders training there, getting the hands dirty in the outdoors. And you're just building a nice little culture of fit community. And that's what is, I would say, driving people back again to us, what we're doing.
I actually wanted to touch a little bit upon kettlebell training.
Yeah.
You know, how that's kind of come about in India as well. And, you know, what are some things that people should know about kettlebell training?
I personally find kettlebells one of the very aggressive, dynamic tool to train with. We use it quite a lot in our trainings. Of course, it is easy to carry for us, you know, in the outdoors. One thing we need to know is that, you know, you need to be a little careful when you're using it. People use it in all funny ways. I look at it. You need to get an expert or somebody who's certified to work with you on that. There are a couple of very senior leaders who are, or trainers, I would say, who are there, who do some crazy stuff and great stuff, you know, really motivating to look at them to work with. So yeah, I mean, looking at a kettlebell, it is a very explosive move, works a lot on what people work is on the posterior. And looking at the runners, I think it's one of the best tool. It totally works on their posterior, works on their pelvic. What people don't understand is that kettlebell is one of the best tools to work on joint stability in working in rehab, in working with strengthening the ligaments and tendons. But you need to know who's training you there. Yes, people do find using kettlebells, you know, a little tough because it hits on areas which probably you would not work in a gym. So people then find those muscle groups sore. So you need to be patient with it, work with it, and get out of that mindset that it's a scary tool. It's one of the best tools to work with.
So you could have a completely holistic workout with a kettlebell.
15 minutes of workout with a kettlebell, you're done for the day. So when I was doing my workshop, you know, we had a 10-minute exam which we had to give. And the 10-minute exam, trust me, it was a tough one when I did that, yeah.
So a little bit about your personal workout for your own pursuit of wellness. You know, what is Jatin Arora's favorite workout? Like, once you're done with the day, we said that, you know, you get to do your own training post 5:30. What is your favorite workout? What do you enjoy the most?
For me, you know, I try to keep it a mix of endurance and CrossFit. I love lifting. That's my favorite, you know, stress buster. Right now, we are in off season. Running is totally taken a backseat for the next 2 to 3 months at least. So this is the time when I need to get back to my strength. Last year, unfortunately, I had a couple of injuries. I was not able to train 100%. So this year I've patiently been there. So back to my CrossFit workouts, spend at least an hour, hour and a half in the evening. Right now, focus is only strength and power. Once that's over, yes, endurance will kick back. Targets are to do a couple of long runs in the month of September, October when the season starts. But yeah, I mean, looking at strength training, that just gives me the kick. A lot of overhead squatting. That's my favorite to train with, lifting heavy and lifting crazy. That's what I work with.
Awesome. And how do you manage your personal nutrition?
I take that as not 100% follower, I would say. But what I do is I try to eat clean. I try to at least keep it clean when it comes to my big meals. I very firmly believe in supplementation. When I say supplementation, it's all about making sure you're taking your multivitamins, you're taking your omegas, you know, you're taking enough macros, you're taking enough proteins, not necessarily in the form of a protein shake, but eating clean, good food. I tend to cheat with my boys around. Yeah, I mean, they love eating pancakes.
Yeah.
So for me, yeah, I mean, when they're doing it, I try to cheat sometimes. But yeah, I mean, I think I firmly tell my athletes, you know, that fitness is not just about following a very rigid and plan which you can't follow. You should train to follow a good, healthy lifestyle where you are living a normal life. You are eating what you feel like at times. If you want to have a beer, why not? But yes, burn it out, balance it off. And that's what I keep on working with. And I follow it personally, to be honest. Yeah.
Awesome. So fitness doesn't have to be necessarily tedious or something that, you know, as you said, that rigid where, you know, you're stuck eating only clean meals and only being very, very strict with yourself.
Yeah. In the end, again, you know, we need to figure out what your objective is, what your long-term plan is. You know, we have certain people who are very particular about their long distance running, and they're very particular about their body weight, their fat percentage. They keep on, you know, measuring it after every 15 days. So yeah, they do follow a very strict diet. And there are people who just want to do fitness for the joy of running, for the joy of, you know, being living healthy. So yeah, there are people who enjoy it. And in the end, it's all about fitness physically, mentally, and, you know, keeping a good social connect with everybody around.
A little bit more about that, you know, how what is your process of coaching and motivating some of your trainees? You know, what are some things that you face on a daily basis? And, you know, how do you help people kind of stay on the track?
See, I'm a very, very big firm believer in keeping it simple. We don't want to do some fancy stuff and then look great on different podiums. We don't want to do that. We want to keep it simple. It's a process. Things don't change in a day. It's a slow process where you need to educate your athlete that it will take time. We are not there just to make sure that you stand on a scale and that 1,000 rupee scale will tell you whether you're fit or not. We don't do that. There are a lot of times you put questions across, you know, that you don't even take my weight. Why? You go to a gym, the first thing they'll do is they'll take 10 different measurements and they'll say, oh, you know what, you're fit now because your graph has gone down. No, we're not looking at that. We're looking at how you are feeling. And that feel factor is what really gets people motivated. If I'm feeling happy, if I'm feeling, you know, content with what I'm doing, you will be there in the morning. I don't need to motivate him. He will be there in the morning at 5:15 to make sure that he's training with us. And that's what we believe in. Keeping it simple, making sure that he understands what he is in it for. Just standing over there and telling him 10-20 burpees will not going to solve the purpose. We need to make him understand why you're doing it. Follow a simple process. So that's what when it comes to motivate. See, coaching, when it comes to coaching, we need to be resilient. When I say resilient, we need to go back and kick it back to them saying that you need to do it. We need to be very firm. I mean, our average age group of our bootcamp is about 34, 35. So we've got some very senior people, you know, training with us. But when we are pushing, you know, they're as good as an 18-year-old for us. We need to make sure that there's a trainer who's half their age and he's training them. And he's make sure that, you know, he's working with them, being resilient in terms of pushing him and doing him the right thing. And that's what coaching is all about. It's not about just telling him to do something and then step out of it. Coaching him, correcting him, guiding him, holding his hand and making sure he achieves his goal step by step.
Yeah, so it's not only just that 1 hour training session that kind of helps you motivate them or keep them on track, right? It's something that's every day. It's something that, you know, is, as you mentioned before, what they do for the next 23 hours as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, for us, you know, we train 3 hours in the morning. I spend more time after that on my WhatsApp, in my groups, in talking to people, doing one-to-ones, giving them the right information, giving them, sharing the right knowledge. There are a lot of people who come back with a lot of questions, repetitive questions also. But you need to be patient and answer those to make sure that they get closer to their goal. And I think that's what drives them as well when they get that attention, when they get that focus. Not just from me. I think this is duplicated and replicated by all my team members, and they're doing the same thing. They do, you know, spend that time and extra patient hour or there's 5 minutes replying to the WhatsApp to a one-to-one or a group message.
Awesome. So talking a little bit more about, you know, your trainers and how they're also training some of your clients.
Yeah.
What do you think is important in terms of picking the right kind of trainer? You know, before we started the podcast, we were chatting a little bit about the ecosystem.
Yeah.
And how, you know, maybe 2 years ago, 4 years ago, it was difficult to find good talent. But now that's kind of slowly improving. And as you said, you know, people have worked under you and trained with you and become better. But how do you find good trainers, and what is important to keep in mind?
I think that is one of the most important and an aspect where, you know, we worked hard on. You know, when I started 4 years back, to find a trainer with this, with the attitude you wanted, was the toughest part. You know, skills and knowledge is you gain in the journey. Attitude is something you need to have it inbuilt. So it took me a little time to, you know, find the right attitude. You know, when I started bootcamp or training in the outdoors was nowhere a culture in Gurgaon. People didn't know anything like that existed. Yes, people were doing it in small pockets, but the, you know, the whole culture was totally new. So getting a guy who was standing in a gym for 8 hours in an AC environment, getting all the facilities he can, to get him out at 5 in the morning to train for you, it was a tough battle. We've had people coming there and just looking at him telling us, oh shit, what are you guys doing? I don't even can never do this. And those are not the people we are looking at. So yeah, I mean, we've got people who have either changed their mindset, or athletes who've trained with us over time. We've kind of worked with them to do a few certifications. So I'm a very firm believer in education, where you need to be a certified coach. So, you know, education plays a role a long way. It's not necessarily that if I'm a good athlete, I'm a good runner, or I have a good physique, I can train people. No, you know, a good athlete, cannot necessarily be a good trainer. You know, a good trainer can turn into a good athlete. That's a different story. But, you know, you need that education, you need that experience, you need that mindset to train somebody standing over there. And yes, that's what we've built in. So for us, anybody who comes in, goes through that internship, spends some time with our trainers, shadows him, we see that whether he mixes with the people or not, whether he can, you know, conduct sessions with the kind of, profile of people we train. And that's what, now we're at a point, you know, where we get a phone call that we want to start, you know, training with you and be a part of your team. It just makes me feel proud sometimes, you know, that what we've done or achieved in the last 4 years. But yeah, that's where we are, and the journey is progressing.
Awesome. And so for some of our listeners who may want to find a great trainer, or for some of our listeners who might potentially want to pursue a career in training and, you know, get some certifications, what are some things they should look at? You know, what are the kind of certifications people should keep an eye out for?
I think a very important part which you need to look at is you need to look at credible sources. You know, there are a lot of people now in the community because they've had the experience and they started training people. I'm not saying that they are bad or they are wrong. I think you need to first see that what interests them, whether it's yoga, whether it's Zumba, whether it's CrossFit, whether it's any kind of functional training, whether it's nutrition, anything which you like to be a part of the community, you need to go ahead and speak to professionals in this community. Social media is playing a very, very good role over there. You know, connect with them, speak to them, understand what they can do. Look for credible sources to get yourself trained. Certify yourself. And before you start handling a client, get some experience. You know, it's a different story by just reading a book, writing an exam, than to actually working with a client. You know, you can learn all your muscles, you can learn your anatomy, but when you're standing with a client and you try to just, you know, not able to identify what he's doing or where you need to correct him, you can injure him. And once you've injured him, it can, you know, take a toll on your career itself. So be patient, work with, you know, there are a lot of good gyms here where they're doing some good training programs as well. We really encourage internships for people to come and train, spend those hours, shadowing our trainers, work and, spend some time and learn the business, how it's done, learn the traits of being a good trainer. And that's how we're doing.
Awesome. So experience and, you know, credible sources, you would
absolutely
say.
And what very important people forget is that, you know, you need to constantly learn. You know, the way we are evolving, there are so many new trends coming in, whether it's in India, whether it's in the US or any part of the world. You need to keep yourself updated, learn. Constant learning has to be focused on, no matter, you know, you're a beginner as a trainer or you spend years in this community or in this, profession, you need to constantly get yourself upgraded. You know, these days, athletes come to us and they've used the internet in such, or they've researched about it so well that, you know, sometimes they ask you questions which you have to be updated with. I mean, I'll give you an example for myself. You know, we started Bootcamp Yellow about 4 years back, where people had just started running with us. Today is a situation where people did their duathlon earlier this year, where they did cycle and running. And now you hear, you know, there are so many people who've gone and done Ironmans from India. But the way things are evolving, how many Ironman coaches do we have? And that's what clicked me. And that's where I went and did it. Not that I'm training anybody right now, but my whole idea was to get myself educated, learn on the job. And when these people start asking me questions, that and questions start coming already from my athletes, there are some strong runners, there are some cyclists, they're learning swimming now. There are some good swimming coaches in Gurgaon who are training people to swim. So, just want to be ready, prepared before, you know, this gets bigger. And that's what I would request people to, you know, spend some time educating themselves, learning how the trade is done and implement it. Not just taking a certificate, hanging into the room or on the in their office. Implement it with the athletes. Share the knowledge. Share it with your community. And that's how we will, you know, make better athletes out of us.
Absolutely. So practice as well, right?
Absolutely.
And what are some sources you personally have used in the past or currently use to kind of keep yourself updated in terms of trends, in terms of research, whatever it might be?
So see, I did my first certification from ACE, American Council on Exercise. So I very firmly follow them. They have some great blogs which they share, some very good information available. Since I've done my CrossFit, I'm a part of their community, so I get a lot of good write-ups from them. And there are some very senior coaches who are available, who are a part of this community, follow them. And there are some great books available. Keep on reading. I mean, there are some good books on running available, anatomy, rehab. Just get hold of books and spend some time. I mean, I made it a rule of spending at least an hour every day of either listening to a podcast or listening to an interview or reading something new, which kind of just helps me. And that's what is making me ready to what I'm getting into.
Awesome. And tell us a little bit about some of your trainees and their success stories. You know, you've been training now for quite a long time here in Gurgaon.
Yes.
Some stories that you would want some of our listeners to know and be motivated by.
It's been a fantastic journey. I mean, I remember my first message I got from somebody. You know, it was not about losing weight. It was not about doing a strong half marathon. It was not about hitting your one rep max. You know, when he sent a message to me saying, you know what, Jatin, I'm off my cholesterol tablets. I was like, wow, that's an achievement one looks at. And, you know, I'm happy to get that. And that gives me more, I would say, sense of accomplishment, if I may call it, that I have done that. You know, my athletes come and tell me before joining, I was in a place where I was depressed. I didn't have any life. I didn't know how to spend my time. And now they are socially active. They are, they are out of their depression. They are some great runners now. So I think that is some great success stories I may share. I mean, and there are some great feedbacks and some great reviews which have been there on our Facebook page. If you want, you can certainly go and read it. Our website, bootcampyellow.com, has those stories already. Just go have a look at it. And I think that's what pushes us and motivates us to get back.
That's a great story. I think if you can help people kind of get off medication or, not specific to just, you know, that I lost this much weight or I was able to kind of run this marathon. You know, how can people get in touch with you? What is a good way for people to, you know, find you, be in touch with you, learn about all the great things that you're doing?
You can visit my website, bootcampyellow.com. You'll find my numbers, social media, bootcampyellow.com. You can follow me on Facebook, Jatin Arora. Anywhere you'll find, certainly you can straight away connect with me. I do flash my number. I want people to call me rather than an answering machine or a IVR. I want direct connect. And that's what we're doing. One thing I really want to touch upon, you know, I mean, recently, I mean, it's been my third year as well, which has been a very good success story for Bootcamp is, you know, that we work with a foundation which is very close to my heart. It's called Lotus Petal Foundation. Oops. It's a full-time school. We have roughly around 400 kids now in that school, starting from kindergarten to 12th graders. We have three kids who are finishing off 12 this year. So we've been very actively participating in raising funds for that school. Airtel Delhi Half Marathon has been our biggest platform in raising funds for that school. So my journey started with them in just spending a few hours twice a week to be as simple as a PT teacher, teaching them simple drills, getting them to get up and run. And now we're in a situation that last year we had 83 people running the ADHM and we have a full-time PE teacher over there now. I work with him now. He comes and attends my trainings in the morning to go back and implement the same thing in the school with the kids. So yeah, we've been the maximum fundraiser last 2 years. This year we were again the maximum fundraiser in the Airtel Half Marathon. So that's journey is something which I take it as a success for Bootcamp. And that's happened purely because of all the, you know, the athletes, the community members who very openly, you know, generously, graciously, you know, supported us in taking care of that school.
Awesome. That sounds like a great cause that you're working on. Yeah. And if people want to donate or, you know, help you with that foundation in any way, how can they kind of get
You can straight away go to lotuspetalfoundation.org, connect over there. You can donate, online. Either you are in India or anywhere in the world, you can make a donation. We are open to all across the world.
Awesome. And just for our listeners, you'll be able to find all of that information in the show notes, along with all the information on how to get in touch with Jatin as well. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Jatin. I think that was wonderful. And there's some great information here for our listeners. Any closing thoughts that you have for Pursuit of Wellness listeners?
I think it's been a great journey. I mean, a couple of things which I really want to highlight, and, you know, I kind of keep on talking about, you know, to everybody who's starting their journey into fitness, start it slow. Don't try to rush it. I mean, I keep on telling people, don't try to do too many things too fast. Make a plan, put an objective in place where you want to be 1 year from now, 2 years from now. Don't look at it where you want to be, you know, a month from now. Break it up. And just don't think about fitness is not just about physical. It is a lot about internal, what you're eating, how you're internally. Get your nutrition under check. Get your blood test reports done regularly. Make sure you are following your supplementation plan. And make it a holistic approach, not just a physical approach. And that's all. And I think thank you very much, Kabir, for having me here. And it's been a fantastic journey for me as of now. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jatin. All right, guys, that was our episode with Jatin Arora. Hope you found it interesting and stay tuned for more episodes. You can follow us at Twitter at TPOW Podcast and also on our Facebook group, The Pursuit of Wellness. This was a Mancha Media production.